Today on Real Radio.
But in this I see, Jonathan, such a peacemaker. Apparently he's of the personality and of the character that he looks for the best in people, you know? Neat kind of guy to have around. I bet you Jonathan was a very encouraging man.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. Now, in chapter 20, David appears to fear for his life because of death threats by King Saul. Yet Jonathan, Saul's son, reassured David that nothing's going to happen. In fact, Jonathan cites the name of the covenant God of Israel and that the Almighty is on David's side and would protect him. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now in a lesson taken from 1 Samuel chapter 20 called The Message Beyond You.
Christian, God's called us out of the world. We stand there and we say, God, use me. I mean, don't raise your hand right now, but how many of us are pleading with God? God, use me. If you don't use me, I'm going to die. You ever feel like that? You're going to explode. Just to be used by God. God, just use me. And as it were, with Simeon at the temple at the time of Jesus, let your servant depart in peace. You know? You can say that then. There's nothing like being used by God. David could have been wondering, what about that? You think he forgot about that when he was anointed king as a young man, young child? You think he forgot about that? Never. We never hear David saying, God, what's the deal? What's up? He had this big thing. He poured oil over my head. It was a big deal. Why isn't it coming to pass? And maybe you have this deep confirmation on the inside that God is going to do something with your life, and yet it hasn't come yet, hasn't happened yet. What do I say to you tonight? Read a book? Go to a conference? I've done all that. It doesn't work. Well, I just want to know my calling. You won't find it in a book. You won't find it at a conference. God says, when you've pursued me with all of your heart, then I will reveal myself to you. And if you want to be used by God, and I know you do, we do. God is going to see to it that you and I will go through things of life to get us to the point to where the calling can never be shaken. Because if somebody, husband, wife, neighbor, friend, can talk you into serving God, then somebody can talk you out of serving God. But if God says, serve me, then wild horses cannot prevent such a thing. Storms will come, but you can stay the course and you can finish well because God's the one who called you. David is amazing to me, this man. He's not complaining. He's not crying. He's hanging on to the Lord. Well, in verses 12 to 19, there's some promises made. I call them sad promises. And here the story takes an amazing turn. Then Jonathan said to David, "The Lord your God, the Lord God of Israel, is witness. When I have sounded out my father sometime tomorrow or the third day, and indeed there is good toward David, and I do not send to you and tell you, may the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you and send you away, that you may go in safety, and the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, But you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies. Now Jonathan again caused David to vow. And I love this. We'll come back to this in a moment. Because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed, because your seat will be empty. And when you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed, and remain by the stone of Ezel. The stone of Ezel. The word Ezel in Hebrew, and what is implied, is the stone that shows, or the stone that departs, the stone of departure. Some of your Bibles render it. Jonathan and David, you and I have learned, love each other. It says in the scripture that their love for each other is more tender than that of a woman. But that's not what it means. It means that these guys shared and bared one another's hearts and souls with each other. They knew each other inside and out. They were the absolute best of friends. Rare, rare friendship. And so they were so tight. And you see them now making a vow. Look, if my dad is determined on killing you, then here's the thing. You can't stay, because I don't want you dead. And who knows if we ever get a chance to be back together again. So here's the thing. From this moment on, should that be the conclusion, will you bless my descendants? And it's a mutual vow, one to another. But notice in Jonathan's declaration, Jonathan is here declaring, remember, Jonathan is the legal heir to the throne according to bloodline. He's the son of Saul. He doesn't fight against that. He says, you know what? This vow we make, this vow that we exchange right now, Jonathan says it's regarding the house of David. David will be king. Jonathan's behind that. He's for that. And so there's this sad promise that they're having to make. And you've got to stop for a moment and say, is this really going to happen? I mean, doesn't the story end happier than this? I mean, if God's in it, can't it end happy? You know what? Not all of God's stories end happy. We need to hear this tonight. All of God's stories end well, but they don't always end happy. We know this too well in our lives. There's things that go on in our lives, maybe for a lifetime. And we begin to wonder, we begin to question. There's evil that's been upon our lives. Maybe it's our upbringing, maybe it's the parentage we had, or maybe it's the way the children have turned on the parents or parents now. Whatever it might be, there's evil and there's sadness. These things happen in life. We serve a perfect God in an imperfect world. It doesn't mean that God is compromising, nor is God like man, where he's carnal. Not at all. He's holy and pure. Would God, upon his throne, allow Jonathan and David's friendship to part? The answer? We shall see. In verse 20, it says, and remember, he's waiting by the stone. The stone that is going to be the place of departure. He says, then I will shoot 3 arrows to the side. This is Jonathan speaking. As though I shot at a target. And there I will send a lad saying, go find the arrows. If I expressly say to the lad, look, the arrows are on this side of you. Get them and come. Then, as the Lord lives, there is safety for you and no harm. So if my dad's cool with everything, I'm going to shoot the arrows toward the rock, and I'll say to you, hey, pick up the arrows and come back, David. It's cool. Everything's fine. We won't need this little boy, this little kid that retrieves arrows. Arrows were expensive in those days. And if you shot one, you had to go get a kid to bring one back. So if I shoot near you and say, grab him, then all is well. It's cool. No problem. Verse 22, but if I say thus to the young man, look, the arrows are beyond you. That is beyond David. Go your way, David, for the Lord has sent you away. And as for the matter which you and I have spoken of, indeed, the Lord will be between you and me forever. Then David hid in the field. How many days? 3 days. 3 days in hiding. Ring a bell? 3 days out of sight. 3 days, in a sense, almost to David, as though he's dead. Because I think David knows Saul's conclusion. 3 days, Jesus appeared to be dead to the unbeliever, but in fact had paid the price of our sins. So David hid in the field, and when the new moon had come, the king sat down to eat the feast. Now the king sat on his seat, as at other times, and on a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought, something has happened to him. He's unclean. Surely he's unclean. That means he's been with a girl. Yep, I bet he's been with a girl. That's what that means. He didn't keep himself pure. He's got to stay away. And it happened the next day, the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come to eat, either yesterday or today? So Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, please let me go, for our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in your eyes, please let me go away and see my brothers. Therefore, he has not come to the king's table. Now, you know what? At that moment, this is Jonathan, the king's son. He just says it. Oh, yeah, here's the deal. And he says it. Now, Jonathan is under the impression that, remember, things are okay with my dad and you. Come on, if it wasn't, he would tell me. David says, Jonathan, wake up and smell the coffee. Your dad hates me. He's trying to kill me. No, no, no. If he was trying to kill you, he would tell me. No, he's hiding it from you, Jonathan. Wake up. So I think Jonathan's almost thinking as an appeasement. All right, here's what we'll do. You go hide in the field. And I think Jonathan is assuming all's going to be well. Jonathan's kind of a neat guy, you know? He's, first of all, like a rock with the Lord. Obviously, a tremendous friend. We already know that he can stand up to his father. He loves God. But in this, I see Jonathan, such a peacemaker. Apparently, he's of the personality and of the character that he looks for the best in people, you know? Neat kind of guy to have around. I bet you Jonathan was a very encouraging man. He sure did some radical things with the Lord. Verse 30, here you go, put on your helmet. Then Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman. Now, some of your Bibles have... This is the New King James I'm reading. Some of your versions have something there that I'm not going to say publicly. I'll just say that your version, when they rendered it so, they weren't thinking about the etiquette of the king when they put it together. Your version's more accurate in what's being said. Saul slams his wife for giving birth to Jonathan, says some very nasty words about her. Now watch what happens. This guy It seems like we've all worked for this guy at some point in time in our careers, though, isn't it? You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Now therefore send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said to him, why should he be killed? What has he done? Then Saul cast a spear at Jonathan to kill him, by which Jonathan knew. Jonathan knew. Okay, now I know that it was determined by his father to kill David. Yikes! Can you imagine? You know, there's this... Oh, now I see what David's been talking about. Oh, man. How sad this is for Jonathan to see his lunatic father. So Jonathan, verse 34, arose from the table in fierce anger. You ought to mark that word, fierce anger. This is holy or righteous indignation. This is the kind of anger that God approves of. Did you know that, everybody? There's an anger that God approves of. By the way, the Bible says, be angry and, sin not. You can be angry and not be sinning. Did you know that? An anger for righteousness. You know what that's like. We all know what that's like. I really believe that it's not as rare as I had earlier thought in my Christianhood. Not in my neighborhood. I mean, as a Christian growing up. When you see injustice, doesn't that anger you? I believe the initial anger is holy. If I think about it, then I become unholy. Because here's what happens to me. When I hear somebody abusing a child, there's a fire that goes up inside of me of disgust and of shame. I don't even want to be a human. I don't want to be related to that. God help us as a people. And in about 30 seconds, I'm looking for something to beat that guy. And then it goes from holy indignation to the wrath of man. You know what I'm saying? You want to choke him. And that stuff sets me off. And then the Lord reminds me, just wait till I get done with him. That's later. You sit down and be quiet. I'll take care of it. And I sometimes get like Jonah. Yeah, I know you will take care of it. 30, 40, 50 years from now, I want to see something now. And it's not for me to do. I heard of a 14-month-old child being raped to death as the surgeons tried to put that child back together at UCLA. And I heard on the news that that baby's vital organs had been so destroyed. And when I heard that for a moment, there was such a righteous anger, and then I immediately realized I could be a murderer. Because if I knew who that man was, I would go get him. But it's not for me to do that. God has given a judicial system to do that. And if it fails, God will deal with it in the end. This is a hard thing. Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger. Why? Because the hatred and the murderous thoughts are unjustified. For he was grieved for David because his father had treated him shamefully. Now, verse 35 to verse 42 is the entire point to the chapter. And so it was that in the morning that Jonathan went out in the field at the time appointed with David, and the little lad was with them. And then he said to the lad, "Now run, find the arrows which I shoot." And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. Then the lad had come to the place where the arrow was, which Jonathan had shot. Jonathan cried out after the lad and said, "Is not the arrow beyond you?" And Jonathan cried out after the lad, "Make haste, hurry, do not delay." So Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came back to his master. But the lad did not know anything, only that Jonathan and David knew of the matter. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to the lad and said to him, "Go, carry them into the city." And as soon as the lad had gone, David arose from a place toward the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed down three times. And they kissed one another, and they wept together, but David more so. We'll come back to that before we end. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. It's an amazing moment. David, go, flee now, run. You got to go. If David decided to delay, "No, I'm going to stay." Think of the outcome. But wait, think of where he's at. He's in a field, heir to the throne by decree of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called "The Message Beyond You." It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 20 and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse exploration of this fascinating Old Testament book, and we'll continue with more of The Message Beyond You on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, we've been telling you about this month's special offer from Real Radio and how that ties into quite the worthwhile New Year's resolution for 2015. Matter of fact, here's Pastor Jack himself to tell us more. Pastor Jack?
Well, that's exactly right, David. You know, everyone approaches the year end and the year to come with hopes and aspirations to maybe have a better year than what we've left behind. And listen, I've got just the right prescription for you. And it comes, quite frankly, personally. And that is, have you ever read through the Bible in a year? I know that's a challenge to a lot of Christians. A lot of the Christians, of course, we love the Bible, we love God's Word, but when it comes down to a disciplined daily Bible reading, we have a tendency to kind of get away from that, or far too many people would have to confess they've never read through the Bible in a year. And so we want to help you reach that amazing goal. I tell you, right here at church, we have literally sold 10,000 copies now of the one-year Bible right here. And so every year we get excited as the church goes through the Word of God together. Look, we happen to be a large church, but one of the great things of keeping us small is that all of us are on the same page every day of the year. And you can do the same thing by joining us. If that sounds great to you, and I hope it does, you can get your copy of the one-year Bible for a limited time right here at Real Radio. You can do that by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or listen, you can mail us at Real Life with Jack Hibbs, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California 91709. Or you can simply call us at 877-777-2346. 877-777-2346. Listen, we hope you take us up on this offer and join us on January 1st as we go through the Word of God together.
All right, thanks, Pastor Jack. Now, whether you call, click, or write, we ask that you please keep in mind that it does take time, energy, and of course, resources to get this one-year Bible into your hands. So prayerfully consider what you might be able to contribute as we near the end of 2014. Ask for it by name, the one-year Bible. All of that contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.